and welcome to another Fool's Daily. I'm Conrad, and with me today is Aaron. Say hello, Aaron.
Hey, how's it going?
No, you said you meant to say hello, not hey, how's it going?
Oh. You've
spoiled it now.
Oh. Okay, show over, let's start again.
How you doing, Aaron?
Yeah, not too bad, mate.
We're here today to talk about an event that we both attended at the weekend. It was a one-day event at, I suppose, it's one of our LGSs in London. London being such a big place, you know, that it's obviously inundated with local gaming stores, which we can play games at. Not.
Space is a premium here.
Absolutely, yeah. So the event was held at Darksphere, and it was a Star Trek Attack Wing storyline organised play event. That's a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on there.
I've never been to Darksphere before, so that was a bit of an eye-opener. It was a bit dark. Hey, Darksphere. It was dark, but... it was okay. It was an okay place for an event, I thought. It was pretty spacious, and
I've played in a few stores at this point, and I think as stores go in London, it's got the most gaming space of any store I've seen here in forever. Like, I've never seen a space with that much gaming store.
It's like it's underneath one of the railway arches type thing, which is why it extends back so much, I think.
Yeah. No,
that's what it seems like.
You have trains going overhead all day, which can get annoying after a little while, but after, like, you just don't notice it soon enough.
I mean, for those who don't know, Darksphere's close to Lambeth North Station on the Bakerloo line. It's about a 2-minute walk from Lambeth North. The event was not what I would term a traditional tabletop event, where we turn up at 9:30 in the morning, some ungodly earth hour in the morning, and go playing till about 5 or 6 o'clock. We actually got to turn up at midday for this event.
Yeah, that's definitely a benefit to these events, you know. You don't have to get up before 10.
And in reality, we could have probably finished by about 4 o'clock, but we went on till about 5:30. So it was an afternoon's gaming. I suppose what we should do is say we should tell the people what a storyline organised play event is.
Okay. So, it seems like a standard kind of tournament, but with a special storyline. Instead of playing, like, your Steamroller or your Malifaux scenario missions, there's one mission that is part of, I guess, the Star Trek Universe storyline from the TV show?
Yep. It's from the next gen, this one is.
Yeah, and then it's very much designed around that and all the different aspects of that. So... this one was the Borg cube, the discovering of the Borg, I think.
Yeah, it's called, the storyline, because this is the second storyline event that WizKids, because these come from WizKids, who are the designers or owners of the Star Trek Attack Wing IP and game as such. This is the second organised play event that storyline God, this is so long, it's hard to say. Storyline OP event. There you go. That'd be a bit easier. That they've run. And this was the first sort of episode or event, because there's going to be... I think there's three in this one.
Yeah, there's
three separate events in the storyline.
Yeah.
I think there were four in the last one, which ended up with... and that was based around the sort of Deep Space Nine type.
I think the overall prize for that one was you actually got Deep Space Nine as a ship in the game, or as a station in the game.
Yeah, and that's huge as well. It looked as though it was... I would have loved to have won that.
Yeah, it would have been a cool prize. I think you still got a cardboard cutout if you went and played as like a participation prize. But actually winning it, got the whole model to stick on top of the cutout and then fight people with, which is very nice.
Yep, absolutely. The good thing is about these things is that you turn up and you generally seem to be in a position where you get stuff.
Unlike other games as well, you get unique stuff where, like, so you can't just buy this stuff on the shelves. You can go on eBay and buy it, obviously, because people sell it, but it's like you get a benefit for turning up because you get something you wouldn't get, and no one else who doesn't turn up gets. It's fine. So I like that to an extent.
Yeah, I mean, I've not really played or come across this sort of idea before. I've come across the idea before because I kind of equate it to blind draw type stuff, you know, like Montpoc or other CCG type games where you get blind or unique sort of stuff, or it's like drops in Hearthstone or World of Warcraft to a certain extent as well. So that sort of idea, I think. But as you said, you can only get these at these events. Some of the stuff that has been given away at the events has been quite good in terms of the game itself, and have been appearing on eBay for quite ridiculous amounts of money.
Yeah, that is the downside to it. I think the ones that have been on eBay are the prize ships from the past,
yep.
The Deep Space
yep.
one. They're not the blind picks, which everyone gets.
Yep.
But, yeah, some of the they do seem to be very expensive, and I think the collectability there as well is people want to own all the ships for their faction. So.
Yeah, I mean, they're either new things or they're sort of twists on stuff that's already in existence. So for this particular event, which is the collective, the OP event was called First Contact, and it was about the first contact coming across the Borg cube. And the first thing we did was, to actually play in the event, you needed 90 points worth, a fleet or a force of 90 points worth of stuff.
Yeah.
And you would then turn up and be given essentially a booster pack or a ship,
yeah.
which was blind.
Yeah, you got a random one. It didn't matter yep. what faction you were playing.
And then you had to make up another 30 points worth of stuff from that. You weren't allowed to swap with anyone, resulting in a 120-ish point fleet. So that was kind of new for me and really it was kind of exciting. I enjoyed doing the 90 point bit, even though I did it wrong.
I found it, yeah, I'm in the same boat. I found it very hard. Being the first Star Trek event I think we both went to, that
yep.
I don't think we were really ready for both the scenario and what other people were doing in the game.
No, absolutely not. I mean, I went there. Strangely enough, I'd actually downloaded the scenario the day before and the events pack, and I had a look at it, so I probably did a bit more than you in that I read it and had an idea of what we were doing. But that did not affect my build, my fleet build. I went with Klingons, by the way. What did you end up going with?
I was playing the Dominion.
Oh.
Same. And
yes, because I've been playing... I've played about three or four games, and I decided that in a one-on-one, straight, sort of shooting, combat-y type environment, I need as much attacking power as possible with the Klingons.
That wasn't quite how the scenario worked in the end, though, was it?
Yeah, I mean, I went for numbers, and as you said, I don't think that's how we should have gone to the event at the end of the day.
There was a lot of people with only one ship in their whole army and a million upgrades on that ship.
Correct.
Plus the 30-point ship you get along with it. So
yep.
That was their whole force, and it was kind of tricky.
So the scenario was essentially the fact that you've come across the Borg cube for the first time, and it sits in the centre of the table. Both players have a turn, essentially, and then in the end phase, as it's called in this game, the Borg has a go, and it tries to assimilate stuff on ships, the closest three ships it was, I think,
yeah.
In range 1 to 2 of it, and it starts with upgrades, and there's no chance of, there was a chance, yeah, because one of the actions you could take was take that resistance token, wasn't there?
You could take a resistance token, and then you got to roll a dice, and if you got a crit on that dice, which is a 1 in 8 chance, you wouldn't get your upgrade stolen.
Yep.
And you also had to give up your action that turn to take that.
Absolutely, yeah. So to take the resistance token, you had to give up one of your actions. And Klingons only get one action, so...
It's punishing.
Well, absolutely, yeah. And if you, as you said, it's a 1 in 8 chance, so you lose an upgrade. And it, if you've got more than one upgrade on your ship, it's randomly determined. So you just shuffle them and let your opponent pick whatever. Once all your upgrades have gone, your captain goes.
Yeah. And then you're flying a command skill 0 or 1, I think.
I think it's 1, because otherwise you can't fire, I was told by some person over there. But, yeah. And I found very early on, because I had very, I had one upgrade on one ship, and the rest, all my ships had captains.
Yeah.
And I found very early on that as soon as you lose your captain and you drop to that skill level, you obviously in the combat phase don't have an advantage, because it's done in...
The cube does one other thing. If you have no
upgrade
and no captains to seal, it will shoot you with 8 attack dice. Which is pretty insane. Like, you're basically just going to lose light ships straight away, and heavy ships are going to lose all their shield and most of their hull, I imagine. So, it really is hard to deal with this giant cube.
And then it moves in a randomly determined direction.
Towards the players. It can't move to a random board edge. So
yeah.
It comes straight after you sometimes. And if
it crashes into a ship, you take a point of hull damage.
Well, it's giant cube.
Or damage. You take 1 damage, so you might lose a shield or hull damage. So it just got in the way.
It was trying to... The games kind of happened where everyone was trying to avoid this giant ship in the middle. But they were trying to sneak around it so they could start shooting their opponents. It's kind of how it happened for me. I don't know if it was different.
It pretty much happened for me as well, like that. But going back to what I was saying about the captains, as soon as you lose your captain and you've got a low-skill captain, you shoot last, essentially. So you've got no time to actually get your shots off. So invariably, you get killed. And the first game, I found that out the hard way as my captains disappeared. And I got shot to whatever by the Federation.
My first game against Borg, I hadn't actually read the scenario before we started the mission, so I was just like, well, I'm going to shoot the cube, which you can't do. So I flew my ship forward, and my Borg opponent activated after me, and he just went 4 back across the backboard edge, and I was just like, I don't understand, why is he not coming towards me? And at the end of the turn, he's like, now the cube activates and assimilates every upgrade you have and half your captains. And I was like, oh, I'm in trouble. It was very, very painful learning lesson of read the scenario before the game.
Well, exactly right. But it was, because we all came away, because Phil was there from the club as well. We all came away sort of with big smiles on our faces. And it was like, we should have read the scenario, and it did this and did that, and we all sort of realised the same sort of things, but
I learned loads. Like, I didn't know you could take non-faction upgrades on your ships, so...
Well, that was the other thing. It says in the rules that you can use non-faction stuff, but it's a point extra, I think it is.
Yeah.
And being the purists, I think, that we are, sort of thing, we all took in-faction stuff, so... I had all Klingon stuff, and I'm guessing you had, you know...
Dominion, yeah.
All Dominion stuff, and Phil had all Borg stuff. But, you know, you had Picard flying a Borg ship, and God knows what else. Picard seemed to be quite popular, actually, didn't he?
I played 4 games, and Picard was in every single one of them. Literally, I played against 2 Borg players, 2 Federation players. So Federation, not so bad. I mean, he was on Voyager a lot. Don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
But when he... And, like... The other guy was like, oh, he's kept in a cube. That's storyline. I'm just like, what? I call him bullshit. That was kind of going on there.
But the other thing is, was that everyone who'd won stuff or had stuff from previous events, you started to see some of this other stuff appear. And it was like, what the hell's this stuff?
Yeah.
And I knew that would probably happen. But you then get into this sort of, you know, this whole... carrot dangling sort of thing where I want to go to the event to get the free stuff, but I won't necessarily be able to use the free stuff. But there's that little hook in there. I want to see the whole storyline event through. So there's 2 more after this. We ended up playing 4 games, didn't we? Even though the pack said 3.
Yeah,
originally
they wanted 1 undefeated winner at the end. I think it just worked out. With 4 games, you get 1.
There was quite a lot of players there. There was 20 players there, I think, roughly, wasn't it?
23 in the end, actually, which I was quite impressed with. I didn't think there'd be anywhere near that many players.
My understanding from talking to Dan at Dark Sphere, who was the guy who ran the event, was that WizKids only... Because they actually give you a scoring spreadsheet tool-y thing, you know, for running these events, to help you run the events. But they're only really geared for 6 to 8 players, so I think the expectation is that you only get a few players coming to these events, so 23 seems, you know, quite a lot.
Yeah, it seemed mega popular. I know it was bank holiday weekend, but...
Yeah. Yeah. And I was talking to a couple of the people there, they said, oh, this is the only thing we play. So,
yeah.
Having said that, I also saw some old guys, old faces from before, from previous wargaming games, you know.
I saw people I have not seen in 12 years in the gaming world there. Like, when I first started going Games Workshop when I was a kid, I remember these guys back there, and they were there. Very strange.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when... He had a kid as well, and when we were first playing Games Workshop, his kid was like 1 or 2, and now his kid was 14, and he was playing the game as well, and it was just kind of... That's strange, you know?
Did it make you feel a little bit old?
It did make me feel old. And then I had to play the kid, and I actually, that was the only game I won, and I felt kind of bad about it.
did the dad come over and say, you beat my kid as well?
No, I escaped with that one, luckily. I kind of hid in the corner afterwards, and... Didn't talk to anyone.
I've actually looked at the second, sadly. I've downloaded the second storyline. And just so that you know, there's a Borg cube involved again.
Well, after the event, I came straight home. I'm like, okay, I messed up this time. I didn't read the scenario, so I read it straight away as well. And I've been trying to work out, like, good fleets for it.
There is it's a cooperative one this time, I believe.
Yeah, it's very different from anything like I've seen even in a tournament before, where it's just very unique. It's exciting almost.
I mean, you've got like some debris counters and a cube that doesn't actually move at all during the whole game. You're an allied fleet with your opponent, who isn't really your opponent, but the winner of the scenario is the person who's got the most ships left on the table. No, it's the one who inflicts the most damage to the Borg cube.
Yeah,
that's
the one
right.
Who does the most damage while the Borg cube gets tougher and tougher and shoots back at you. And
yeah, because as less ships are on the board, its number of attack dice increases.
What's interesting about this one is you can't shoot your ally, but you can do things like disable their crew members and use upgrades like that to try and steal things off them and benefit your crew while you're hurting.
So you can be a little bit sort of...
Yeah, you can still be treacherous and sneaky. I mean, as a Dominion, you know, I send some founders over there and get my stuff.
But, I mean, I came home from the game buzzing, and I've actually... the good thing about Darkseer was they had the new set of game... Vallejo Game Air paints, and I've bought the green triad, and I have 2 Vultures finished and painted.
I can't believe you're painting...
I've painted 2 ships!
They actually look quite good, though. I saw your picture of them.
I went away and did the research, and then painted them. And it's... I discovered that I really like painting small things, so that's probably why I enjoy painting Epic so much as well.
Epic and Warmaster were one of the few games I actually painted all my armies. So
I can really appreciate that now. I can really understand that because you get quick results, I think.
Yeah, and it actually looks quite good from, like, you know, I'm not the greatest painter in the world by any stretch, and I don't think them armies ever looked bad because you can't see the detail as much.
Yeah, you can't see it, yeah. Yeah, that's fair enough. Anyway, that was it. I ended up going 2-2, and you.
I was 1-3, which is I was saying to the boys the worst tournament result I think I've ever had. So, Aaron wasn't a happy man, I tell you that much.
But you didn't seem to be perturbed by it at all.
No, like I'm one of these people. When I don't understand something, I'll go away and I'll come back. With a whole understanding of it. Yeah, exactly.
Phil Gedge was going well. He won his first game, then he won his second game. And then I'm thinking to myself, because Phil had the Borg, and I'm thinking, yeah, dirty, filthy Borg, just broken. And then in his third game, he lost. And after he lost, he came over and he goes, oh, that bloke was the national champion for the whole of UK. And it was like, okay, fair enough. And then I saw what he had and all the stuff that he had and the extra bits that he had. It was like, that's crazy, man.
One of the coolest things I saw all weekend is someone had their Borg cube opened up and they lifted off the... and they put a light inside and it glowed. And that was kind of cool, but maybe I'm a sack of a little LED light.
I've seen some stuff with LED lights on as well, so I can see how that would look good.
Except for comrade.
Anyway, are you going to go back to the second one, or?
Yeah, I'm actually thinking about going to an event in Harlow. It's the OP1 again.
Oh, really?
At the start of next month, I think next weekend. So I'm probably going to play in that one. And...
oh, I might have to have a look for that.
Yeah,
you have Harlow's to ping me the details on that.
Sure. We'll do.
Well, until then, I think that's enough talking about Star Wars. Hope it gives you some sort of enthusiasm to go and pick up the game and take part in these unique events. Until then, I've been Conrad.
I've been Aaron.
Goodbye.
Bye.
You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're at Fools_Daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.